Chapter 6. "Wake up, sleepyhead. We are coming into Amarilla." Mom yawned and rubbed her eyes. Did I go to sleep? Probably 100 or so miles back. I like to get up with the chickens, but 4 a.m. is a bit early even for me. I told Lee Davis that I'd meet him in his office at 4 this afternoon. That was the only time he had available on such short notice. Amarilla is a long way from Levi, so that meant we had to rattle our hocks. Sorry for interrupting your beauty sleep. Mom laughed. Rattle our... I guess being out here on the prairie is causing you to talk like a Westerner. Could be. The air is so clean and light, it's probably going to my head, affecting my brain. Mom reached behind her for a bottle of water. I'll keep that in mind. I like being able to see for miles and miles. Sure is different from the hills and trees of northeast Oklahoma. Flat. Plains, grass, windmills, and several oil wells. Lots of cattle enjoy the grass on these plains. Plenty of room here for ranches, but you're right, Mom, it is very different from Levi. It's beautiful in its own way, and I imagine these prairies hold some surprises once a person is out in them, maybe riding a horse through that grass. Notice those arroyos, Darcy. A horse or a cow could fall into one of those and break a leg. I've heard that after a big rain, some of these dry gulches become flooded creeks. They could be dangerous. Mom was gazing out the window, probably imagining what it might be like to live on the prairie. Amarilla is the largest city in the panhandle of Texas and quite historic. There are lots of interesting sites. One thing that has always fascinated me is the Palo Duro Canyon. I'd like to see it, I said. So would I. I've seen pictures of it. We'll have to come back when we have a whole lot more time to stay. She looked down at her map. Up ahead is where we leave I-40. We want to look for 6th Avenue. It follows old Route 66. Shops along 6th are trying to retain the flavor of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, I hear. They really are attractive. It's like stepping back in time several decades. Look at those storefronts, Mom. Neat. Yes. Sophie said her shop is right along the street. Can't miss it, she said. She told me that her sign is on the front window. Sophie's. Just Sophie's? That's what she said. Antique shops fascinated me with items that people used long ago and were no longer needed. If I owned an antique shop, I would think of a more romantic, picturesque name like Past Presents, Bustles and Bonnets, A Backward Look, Lanterns and Lamplight, Rub Boards and Red Hands, Corsets and... Here it is, Darcy, pull in right here. I eased the escape into an empty parking space. We got out of the car and stretched. A long drive. Do you think you're ever going to overcome your phobia about flying, Mom? She frowned. Phobia? It's not a phobia. It's common sense. Just think about it, Darcy. When you're on an airplane, there's nothing under you but air for thousands of feet, and you sure can't get out to stretch your legs. A storefront window reached from ceiling to floor on a shop that kids nowadays would call retro. Sophie's was in gold letters above a spinning wheel, a kerosene lamp, and a rocking chair. A bell tinkled as we stepped inside a room bright with chandeliers fashioned from wagon wheels. A small, gray-haired woman in a floor-length blue cotton dress rushed to meet us. Although I had never met Sophie Williams, this woman acted as if my mother and I were old friends or members of her family. She hugged first Mom and then me. Her dark eyes glistened with tears. "I know who you are. You don't have to tell me. Oh, Flora, Darcy, I'm so glad to see you. How wonderful to meet you in person. Come on in. My office is in the back. I'm sure you are thirsty. I have a big pot of coffee and a refrigerator stocked with Cokes." Sophie turned to a younger woman standing behind the counter who was ringing up a sale on an old-fashioned cash register. She, too, wore a dress straight out of the 19th century, a red print with white ruffles on the long sleeves. These women's fashions certainly added to the aura of stepping into the past. Carol, I want you to meet Flora Tucker and Darcy Campbell from Levi, Oklahoma. Carol has been my right hand since Andrea left to marry Gary. Can you please take care of customers for a bit, Carol, while I talk to our visitors?" The woman smiled. "Sure, nice to meet you two." We shook hands with Carol, then followed Sophie past butter churns, flat irons, cane-bottom chairs, coffee grinders, sets of brightly colored dishes, and a bedroom suite complete with canopy bed. She opened a door at the back of the shop and stood aside for us to enter. Sophie's office was snug and homey. Pale yellow curtains covered a small window. A ledger, telephone, and computer sat on her desk. A framed picture of a smiling young woman was turned so that I got a good look at her before I sat down. Andrea. The resemblance between mother and daughter was striking. Sophie settled us into two overstuffed chairs and stood facing us. "Would you prefer coffee or a Coke?" she asked. We said, "Coffee," in unison. Sophie laughed. "Nothing like a good cup to restore a person. You both must be tired out." "I appreciate your making that long drive. I've been wanting to talk to you in person. You said on the phone last night, Flora, that Darcy is to talk to Lee Davis today. I'm glad. I've talked to him several times, but I think it's best if you hear what he has to say firsthand instead of through me." We accepted the coffee that Sophie brought us in white china cups with tiny pink roses around the inside and a thin gold ring circling the top. The same pattern was repeated in the saucers. An admirer of antiquity, I handled the fragile cup reverently. "While Darcy is talking with Mr. Davis, I thought I would see about renting a room for the night," Mom said. "Which motel would you recommend, Sophie?"
"Hotel Sophie Williams," she said promptly.
"Oh, no," Mom protested.
"Now listen," Sophie said. "I will feel really hurt if you don't come home with me. I have a big old empty house and several spare bedrooms. There's not a reason in the world for you to go to an impersonal motel."
Refusing this woman really would wound her sense of hospitality. Mom looked at me and nodded.
"We thank you, Sophie," Mom said. "We certainly did not expect you to be burdened with us."
"No burden," Sophie assured us. "I hope you stay long enough to see a few of our Amarilla attractions, and I want you to be sure to go out to look at Andrea's ranch."
"Do you mean the ranch she and Tom Mott bought?" I asked. Sophie shook her head.
"Oh, my, no. What I mean is the ranch that Andrea's grandmother left her. It's southeast of town, past the Palo Duro Canyon, which, by the way, is worth the trip in itself. This ranch of Andrea's, the Ingle Nook, is the biggest ranch around, a whole lot bigger than Tom's spread."
This was an unexpected twist. "So the ranch did not belong to both Tom and Andrea? It was only Andrea's?" Sophie nodded.
"Yes, it has been passed down to Williams' descendants for four generations. In her will, Andrea's grandmother Williams stipulated that it must never be owned by anyone who wasn't a Williams descendant or the spouse of a descendant. So that's one thing Tom didn't get his hands on. Yet."
A note of bitterness crept into Sophie's voice. I was about to question her further when I heard a loud noise out in the store.
"No, I want to see Aunt Sophie. I definitely will not talk to anyone else," shouted an unseen female.
Sophie sighed and rose to her feet.
"I'm sorry. Sounds like it's my niece Charlene again. I'll be back as quickly as I can."
Before Sophie reached the office door, it flew open, and a young woman with stand-up spiky blonde hair whose heavily made-up face resembled a thundercloud burst into the room. She carried a kerosene lamp with a lovely glass shade, half of it broken off. She thrust the lamp toward Sophie.
"Look at my lamp. Your hired help didn't wrap it well, and when I got home, I found this. And now the impudent woman won't refund my money. She said I probably dropped it."
"See if you can find a replacement, Charlene," Sophie said, reaching for the lamp. "If you can't, of course, I'll give you your money back. If you'll calm down, I'd like you to meet..."
But Charlene stomped out of the room, slamming the door behind her.
Sophie set the lamp on her desk and ran a hand across her forehead. I'm sorry that Texas tornado was my niece, actually my husband's niece, Charlene Williams. Charlene is a story in herself, and I'm afraid it isn't a pleasant one.
We're listening, if you want to tell us, Mom said quietly.
Sophie sank into her upholstered desk chair.
It goes way, way back. Charlene is a few years younger than Andrea, and she was always jealous of my daughter. I'm not sure why. And her temperament is not the best, I'm afraid. Maybe she is actually a lot like her grandmother. Grandma Williams was a mean-tempered old gal.
I couldn't muffle a giggle.
Excuse me, but she was, and bull-headed. I have never seen anybody as stubborn as my mother-in-law. Anyway, she stipulated in her will that the Inglenook Ranch was to go to Andrea. That didn't set well with Charlene because there were only the two grandchildren, Andrea and Charlene. She thought Grandma Williams should have divided the ranch, but that piece of Texas has been handed down intact from one Williams to the next for four generations, and that's the way it's going to stay.
Sophie's strong coffee was beginning to make me feel human again. I carefully set the empty cup with its saucer on her desk. So Charlene didn't much like Andrea.
No, she didn't, and I guess she has taken as her mission in life to make me miserable. She wants me to talk to a lawyer about breaking Mom Williams' will.
She wants Andrea declared dead, but we can't do that yet. It has been only 2 years, and I keep hoping my daughter is alive. Somewhere.
Anyway, that little episode with the lamp is an example of one of the ways Charlene keeps needling me. I don't know about that girl.
She shook her head. Sometimes I think her brain is addled.
I'd like to talk to her, I said. Do you have her phone number?
Yes, I have it, Sophie said. But you don't have to meet Lee Davis till 4 o'clock. Let me take you out to my house and get you settled in my guest room. You can unwind and rest a bit after that long drive.